Hey everyone, and welcome to Chef AJ Live. I'm your host, Chef AJ, and this is where I introduce you to amazing people like you who are doing great things in the world that I think you should know about. Well, today is the third Wednesday of the month, which means it's time for Dr. Stefan Esser, and today he'll be talking about movement as medicine, exercise 101, if you will. Please welcome him back to the show. Hello, Dr. Esser. How are you?
Chef Angie, I'm ready to party as usual. Our Wednesday party is always fun time. So I'm excited.
I can't wait.
Shall we jump right in?
Jump.
Did you get your movement today? Did you get your movement in yet?
If you count over an hour of vigorous spinning and about a half hour of walking Bailey exercise, then yes, sir, I did.
I like it. Sounds like we got a good base started. All
Nice.
right. Well, here we go. We're going to talk about today movement as medicine, developing a science-based personalized fitness program. And as always, if you like the content that I get to share with Chef AJ, please join me on social media at Esser Health on Instagram or Facebook. You know, the reality is that health is an experience, and it's an experience that Chef AJ has committed her life to helping you out there to learn more about. So you can experience it. It's not something you put on the shelf. It's not something that you brag about that you have. It's an experience. Health is experiential, and that's what it's meant to be, so that you can experience the most vital, energetic you. And the reality is that there's some false fixed beliefs about exercise that I want to get into. These are three things that are going to guide us in our conversation today. Motion is lotion, no pain, no gain, use it or lose it. We're going to talk about these three as they relate to exercise and physical activity. My goal with you today is to have fun, as always, to explore the facts, because it's important you remember that exercise is the second pillar of good health, right there next to nutrition. I would argue, in fact, maybe the three stool legs of health are nutrition, exercise, and sleep, that these three things are that essential for you having a long-term vitality. Being physically active, exercising is not some weird extreme fad. It's very important you remember this. And there are incredibly powerful effects that exercise has that we're going to talk about. My goals, right, for you is I want you to leave this talk, this conversation, recognizing that you can be more active and you can improve your speed, strength, cardiovascular health, function, and quality of life. Hippocrates knew this millennia ago. Eating alone will not keep us well. We must also take exercise, for food and exercise work together to produce health. How true this is. But yet some of you who are watching this right now have already said, arms crossed on the couch, I am not an exerciser, I don't need that. And others of you are already out there or jumping up and down saying, oh yeah, preach it, Dr. Esser, right? So there are those who exercise and there are those who don't, or at least that's how we define ourselves. And today I want that wall to kind of break down a little bit that's in between those two groups. You know, when we talk about exercise, truly it is movement of the body that results in the enhancement of health and improvement of function. I love this term because it frees you. This is not about putting on your spandex and going to Planet Fitness and working out people that you hate. No, this is about moving your body. Great studies, right, that show us that dancing has incredible health value. So put on the jams and start dancing in the kitchen, baby, right? Or whether it be hiking or whether it be physical activity, right? I was just working with a shovel a couple of minutes ago doing something here at the ranch. I was getting some exercise, right? I was also getting a productive outcome from it. But movement that results in an enhancement of your health and an improvement of your function. Now, you could break up this exercise into two major categories, right? Because you might say, well, I'm so busy. I've worked in two jobs, got three kids. My commute is intense. All right, maybe you don't have time for an organized sport. Maybe you don't have time to go to the tennis club and play. Maybe you don't have time to hop on, you know, the elliptical and go for 2 hours. But do you have time to work more movement into your day? Park further out from your job, park further out from the supermarket, take the stairs when you can, do walking breaks, do walking meetings, right? When I have people come by my orthopedic office who want to have a meeting, I always go, yep, let's go outside. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, we're walking while we meet, right? And since they want to meet with me, I get to call the shots, right? So you need to work that movement in, even if you're not taking a leisure time to do it. Now, four major areas of movement slash exercise I want you to think of. And your goal should be to get some of each of these. Imagine I put a slide up right here that had a picture of greens, beans, tomatoes, or whatever, fruits, and grains, right? And I might say, you need to get each of these in your diet because each of them brings something different. You would say, yep, that makes sense. It's the same thing with exercise. Some of us get stuck in a rut and we go, well, I do my cardio, and we consider that enough, but it's not enough because each of these different areas of movement provides different health benefits toward the body. There truly is a, quote, power in exercise. At the physiologic level, these exercise has these incredible powerful effects on our risk of these different diseases, right? So it's worth looking at these and thinking for yourself. Do you want heart disease? No. Do you want stroke? No. Do you want diabetes? No. Do you want osteoporosis? No. The list goes on. We want to reduce our risk of all these common diseases and make them uncommon in our lives. And to do so, exercise, that is the foundation, is a very positive influencer of these areas. Now, not only does exercise have powerful tangible effects in these areas, but more intangible things, right? Like, I don't want to fall as I get older, right? I want good balance as I get older. So I can go up on the ladder and pick that ripe mango, or as I was yesterday, pick the yummy loquats off the tree that are ripe here in Jacksonville area. You know, we want to have good bowel regularity. Maybe you've noticed that when you exercise, it's like, whoop, got to go, right? And you're ready to drop the kids off, right? Well, that's the idea here, right? That movement is intended for the general well-being of our body. In addition, for our mind-body connection, exercise is extraordinarily powerful to help manage ADD and ADHD and anxiety, to help reduce depressive thoughts and feelings, right? You know this, mild to moderate depression, if you've got it, exercise is just as effective in studies as venlafaxine and as effective as Prozac. So rather than take medicines that increase your risk of nasty things and cost money, why not exercise every day, right? In addition, you've felt this probably. You get out there for your jog, you're kind of cranky and crabby and crusty, three C's, and you start moving. And before you know it, your brain almost kind of pops open. You're like, ooh, I can think clearly. I feel better. I feel healthier, right? That's that beautiful mental clarity. Children who exercise regularly do better on test scores and are more capable with focus. This is cool stuff. You got any teachers actually out there? There's a great free resource. It's called ABE for Fitness. ABC for Fitness, Activity Bursts in the Classroom. So if you just Google search ABC for Fitness, it's this great little protocol that you can incorporate physical bursts 3 to 5 minutes in length into your classroom days. And in studies, using these little bursts of activity has been shown to reduce ADHD symptoms in kids, improve focus and test scores, reduce the need for asthma medications, and decrease disordered behaviors, et cetera. It's a wonderful little program and it's free. You can download it offline. Now, next, motion is lotion. And we are talking about physical exercise outside the bedroom here. And what I bring up here, right, is that, you know, the motion really lubricates our joints. It enhances blood flow to the tissues, to the chondral sites, to the synovium that surrounds each of the joints. It elongates and extends the ligaments and the soft tissues, right? It has very powerful effects. The truth is, right, if you want to have adventures, if you like to play with your kids or grandkids, if you want to compete in a sport, if your figure or appearance matters to you, if your sex life matters, if preventing diseases matter, well, then the answer is exercise needs to be part of your life experience, right? It's easy to kind of ignore it and think, well, I don't really need that exercise. But the truth is every single one of us needs movement and needs exercise in our lives if these are any of our goals. Now, you know, it's funny. When we think about food, it's very simple, right? You might think, oh, my meal, right? Oh, wait, no, that's not my fridge. No, my fridge is probably more like this. So, you know, I think I want to make a meal, right? I'm hungry. I'm going to go to the fridge and grab some stuff, right? And I'm pretty good at kind of selecting some stuff and putting it together and making a meal of some kind or another, right? A salad. I actually did just have a salad and some lentils. But, you know, when it comes to exercise, maybe some of you out there feel a little less comfortable, right? In selecting what you need to make a good exercise routine. The good news is today we're going to actually have 10 minutes here at the end with my wife doing a quick exercise workout with us. And then, as you know, she's also available if you ever want to do virtual exercise programming with her. You just go to essersports.com and you can sign up for some. But you know, I go to my fridge and most of us go, oh, well, I know, grab some, you know, complex carbohydrates, grab my salad stuff, grab my this, grab my that. But what about exercise? When it comes to developing an exercise routine for yourself, you know, how are you doing? Well, we're going to walk through a few tips and tricks here to help guide you in developing a personalized exercise routine to help you to get this going. The first would be to break down some of the complexities. You might think, well, can I safely exercise? I mean, I have an injury. I mean, you might think, well, I might injure myself, right? Or what kind of exercise should I pursue? This is very similar to how you might think about food, right? Where you're like, well, will I get enough fats? Will I get enough proteins? I've heard I need more, you know, B vitamins, whatever it might be. So in the same way, right, you're walking through this stuff for yourself. So these are some good questions though, right? How do I exercise? What is correct form? Should I hire a trainer? Should I wear a heart monitor? These are all specific questions that are worth asking, right? And we're going to walk through some of these together, right? And if you have more questions or need guidance, again, you can sign up with my wife. A very simple place to start for you is to go online and look for the ParkQ&U. This is a validated one-step screen that determines, are you, quote, safe to begin an exercise routine? If your answer on these basic questions with regards to different risk factors, heart disease, stroke history, things like that, if your answers are all no, you are likely, based on the data, clear to start an exercise routine. And if you say yes to some of these, well, then you may, in fact, need to get some further testing to make sure that you are safe to really get going, right? So you don't end up with this guy sitting on your chest, right? Which would not be cool, because the reality is when you exercise, it's a pretty intense amount of, load on your heart. It's demanding a lot of work from your heart. And if you've been eating the standard American diet, as the studies show, we know that by the age of 18, 80% of people have already early coronary artery disease. And we don't want to end up like Jim Fix. You remember Jim Fix? Jim Fix was the father of American running. And he used to brag how he could eat whatever he wanted, French fries and hot dogs and all the rest. And that he'd say, oh, I just run it off. Well, unfortunately, he was found on the side of the road, massive heart attack and dead. And the reality is you cannot put diesel fuel in your car and then just rev the engine and think everything's going to be okay. It will not be. And so we want to be careful. If we're going to start revving the engine a little bit and it's been idle for too long, it's been sitting in the garage, we want to make sure that we're safe to do so and we go slowly. Now, the next thing to think about, I believe, is kind of mindset, right? When you think about exercise, some of you are already like changing channels. You've gone to look for something else on YouTube to watch. And others, though, are you hanging in there? And, you know, but that's a mindset. Is this that starting to exercise is too hard? It's too difficult. It's so unpleasant. Or is it just, no, it's not. It's actually, this is something I need for me. And thus, I'm going to do it. This is a funny meme, right? I exercised once, but found I was allergic to it. My skin flushed, my heart raced, I got sweaty and short of breath. Very dangerous. Unfortunately, for many of us, when we begin an exercise routine, we experience something uncomfortable. Especially for those of you who struggled with food addiction for decades, you know that you've just been seeking out pleasure. You like to live in a state of pleasure and comfort. It's okay. Acknowledge it. State that. You know, name the dragon. But the truth of the matter is, for most of us, exercise is not in fact dangerous, but rather it is uncomfortable initially because it's demanding something from our body that our body's not accustomed to giving. And then little by little, it becomes easier. You can do it more readily. You feel more comfortable doing it. Now, it's interesting when you think about this, right? Because if you begin to exercise here and you only need to be here for your day-to-day, well, now your day-to-day feels very easy. Squatting to pick something up, lifting it into the back of your car, walking up the stairs, easy peasy. But if you exercise here and you need to be here for your day-to-day, everything in your day will be difficult. Oh, my gosh, I need to sit down. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. This has been a long day. So the goal, just like when you were a kid and you were doing tests, just like when you're in college, right? Your goal is to study here so that when you hit the test and the test was here, you aced it. You don't want to study down here and then flunk out. The next question you might be asking yourself, what kind of exercise, Dr. Esser, should I pursue? Well, I think we should start with this, because you're the most important person on this channel, not Chef AJ or I. We are here as your experts to guide and encourage you, but you're the important people. And you should sit down with this mnemonic. You should write it out and you should do it. What are my goals when it comes to exercise? Remember how I had that list earlier, right? That list of reasons to and reasons not. the reasons that you might be seeking for you, right? Whether it was that you wanted to prevent disease or have adventure, be better in the bedroom or whatever it might be, right? Well, what are your goals here? And then what's your reality today? Write them out. And then what's your options? What's your will? So for example, if I said, well, I'd like to be able to do 25 push-ups without stopping. The reality today, how many can you do? Well, you might say, well, I don't know. Okay, get on the floor and give it a try, or do the countertop push-ups to start. And you say, well, I can do 15. Well, great. All right, what are our options? Well, the options to build up to that 25 is to go slowly, add one or two new push-ups every third to fifth day, and keep going until you get your 25. And then you ask yourself, well, does this really matter to you? What's your will when it comes to this? And if you feel like your will, you can rate yourself 0 to 10. 10 being I'm 100% and I'm committed, I'm rocking this. 0, you're a guy, absolutely not, not going to happen. So find out where you are, because if this goal doesn't matter to you very much, then it's not going to be successful. So then you shouldn't be disappointed if you don't achieve it. That's an important thing to think about, right? Because you might say in your head, well, I really want to achieve this. But the reality is you don't really want to. You just kind of want to. But then you hate failing. And so then when you don't achieve it, then you're pissed off and you feel bad about yourself and you have less self-efficacy. But the reality is you didn't really care about the goal to begin with. So make sure that these goals are something that you really care about. Now, the recommendations by the federal government include 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week. You might look at that number and go, whoo, that's a lot of hours, right? Well, the reality is you can break it up into 10-minute segments. So now we're talking 15 minutes, an entire 10 times in an entire week. You got 7 days. So that means you do one day, you do two more or less. And the other day, you do one block of 10 minutes, right? Or 15 minutes. I mean, that's totally doable, right? Totally doable. That's a whole nother conversation, right? I mean, come on, you could sit down and watch some Netflix show for 2 hours and think nothing of it. Are you going to make a big deal about 15 minutes of exercise? Absolutely not. You've got to start somewhere. Now, resistance training, 2 to 3 days per week, right? All the major muscle groups, 2 to 4 sets of each exercise, 48 hours in between each session. This would be ideal. This is what I'd love to hear from each and every one of you, that you're getting your cardiovascular stuff, but you're also building muscle. This is so crucial because our muscle balance, our strength of different muscle groups determines the stability of our joints and the rates of arthritic change and the associated rates of pain. So for example, people who have good strong quads and lateral hips have less knee arthritis and less knee pain. But just running or walking is inadequate to give them the true muscle building effect. So they need to build that muscular strength through true strength training. Now, what about flexibility? 2 to 3 days a week to improve your range of motion. Balance, 2 to 3 days per week. Right? We want to get all of these in. Make sure you're getting them in. And there are ways that we can work these together. So for example, flexibility and balance, right? Well, next time you're sitting watching some Netflix or television or Amazon Prime, sit down and stretch out. Do stretches. It's unacceptable for you just to sit on the couch. That's not allowable. You need to stretch. Dr. Esser's rules. Dr. Esser's prescription for health. Anytime that you're going to sit watching television or listening to a podcast, you need to be stretching at the same time. Unless you're driving. Don't drive, listen to the podcast, and stretch at the same time. That's dangerous. Now balance, right? You can work this in. You can brush your teeth on 1 foot. You can, while you're waiting to in line at Publix, stand on 1 foot, right? All of these simple things you can do, right? So that's valuable and worthwhile to do. 2 to 3 days per week, yeah? So grow back to this again, right? What are your goals? What's your reality today? What are your options and your will? Hopefully you've already written this down and you've already done a little bit of it. Now, for those of you who say, well, I'm motivated, I do think I want to do stuff, but I feel like I need more assistance. I need more guidance. I need some resources, right? Well, for those of you there, I say, okay, well, there are people, right? Structured, right? Whether it be doctors, therapists, or personal trainers, like my wife, right? Who does personal training and is wonderful doing the virtual work she does. Unstructured stuff would be like your workout buddy, right? The friend or family member who you go and exercise with at the gym, right? So structured versus unstructured, right? Valuable to think about. You know, it's not that you're weak. It's not that you're weak-willed. It's none of those things. When it comes to exercise, the truth is your goal is to get more of it in. So if you need some assistance, get it. If you need some support, get it. Doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're smart. That you recognize that you need some additional assistance. I'm actually going to grab this little stool here for a moment to put this on my lap so I can have this up. Let's see if this works a little better. There we go. Perfection. And so we want to make sure, right, that we've got the assistance or support that we need to be successful when it comes to exercise. What about places? You know, many of us, we can exercise just at home, right? Start moving our limbs, stretching, you know, et cetera. Maybe you make a nice little area in your house, right? Where you say, all right, well, this corner of my living room, I'm going to put a mat here. I'm going to put a little nice inspirational quote, right? I'm going to have my bands sitting here, and then I'm going to do my virtual workout on my own or with Tiff Esser or whatever. Well, that's great, but you should make it that there's an area, right? So for example, I have a TRX band hanging from my bedroom in the open beams that we have. I have an eye hook in the wall, and I have some big heavy duty bands there. I have a mat in my living room that's against the wall I can drop on the ground. See, what I'm doing is I channel factor my life, right? I make it so that I literally have to be like, nope, can't look over there. Nope, can't look over there. That's another reminder to move. I don't want to do that, right? So the reality is if I open up my eyes, I have reminders. If I walk around the house, I have reminders to do something that keeps my body fit and active. When I was working long hours in my orthopedic practice, I would come home and sit on a bike at night, and I built a PVC rack where I could put my computer and I do all my notes just biking for 2 hours, right? So every night I'd bike for 1 to 2 hours while doing all my notes. So I combined something I had to do with something I knew was good for me. And for the last 15 years, right, that kept me in reasonable cardiovascular shape, right? Even though I didn't have a lot of time to go to the gym or actually go for long runs or things of that kind. But if you do have that time, then think about places that encourage or inspire or motivate you, right? Where do you find them fun to go to? Is it fun for you to go to the ocean like it is for me, where we're a mile or so from the beach? You know, is it fun for you to go to the local lake and they have a trail around that you can walk around, hike around, or paddle boat on or kayak on, right? These are all awesome things to consider in your life. Oh, here comes my lovely bride who's going to be doing some fitness with us in a couple minutes. And speaking of which, this is actually something she and I did together, the ABE for Fitness. So if you want, these are free. We make no money off of them, but they are online. And just Google search ABE for Fitness. And they're these 3 to 5 minute bursts of physical activity that you could do at home in the office or the waiting area with my wife or with myself. And they're hosted on Griffin Hospital, which is one of the Yale branches. And it was a great program that we did with them and with walnut grower, American walnut or U.S. walnuts. Growers, they funded it. So definitely a worthwhile thing to look at. Nice little bursts of activity. What about electronics? There are a bunch of electronic devices out there that can help you to be more motivated, right? Online apps, pedometers, accelerometers, a little Jawbone, Fitbit, Fitbug, Nike Fuel, all these different things, right? I used to have my little Garmin watch on. Now I just have a standard watch, but you know, that I could track how many steps I took, what my average heart rate was, how far I ran. If you're like a techie person, these are so much fun and they can help you to set some goals and to try to achieve those goals and then set new goals. My brother, it's fun. He's got one that he can map, you know, kind of different trails up where he lives in North Carolina. And he's always in competition with other guys because who can do this trail or that trail the fastest, right? And they're running these trails, right? And then that becomes a competition. And then they're going online and looking it up and trying to beat the next person, right? So you know yourself, do you thrive off of competition? Do you do better with just nurturing, right? Who are you, right? You need to know yourself so you can then help yourself achieve the goals. But all kinds of apps that show you workouts and exercises and, right, all these different sort of Fitbits and electronic stuff. It's so much fun, these different things that are out there, right? In addition, there's all the old school stuff, the bands and the bars and the balls and the weights and the accessories and the apparel and the kayak, right? Instead of treating yourself to that extra dose of, you know, Haagen-Dazs or that, you know, extra bottle of wine at the restaurant, save the money and instead buy yourself some, you know, equipment that can allow you to do fun exercise things that you enjoy, right? And that actually gives you back the gift of better health rather than compromising your health with that Prosecco, right? So, you know, things to think about. So you've got some things to do here. You need to identify some goals. You need to target exercise to help you achieve them. And you need to use your resources to increase the likelihood of your success. Number next, you need to reevaluate how you're doing, right? every hour, every, you know, kind of week or two, should say, how am I doing? Because, hey, I get in habits where I'm not doing so hot my exercise. I'm kind of doing some, but not nearly enough to achieve the goals that I say I want. And that's important, right? Because if you said to me, my grow, right, included a goal of, let's say now cardio, I want to be able to do a 10K. Well, if you want to be able to do a 10K, but all you're doing is walking, you know, kind of a quarter mile every day, you're not going to be ready for that 10K. It's not going to work out. But if you say your goal is the 10K and you are walk jogging several miles a day and building up progressively, you'll probably get to that goal. Or if your goal is that you want to be able to do 50 push-ups, but you do one and then you give up, or you do 10 once a week, you're not going to achieve that goal. The final thing we said we were going to talk about was use it or lose it. Well, the truth is yes. The truth sadly is yes. As you and I age, our cardiovascular output drops, our respiratory function drops, our muscle strength drops, our bone density drops, our connective tissues slow, and other body parts drop too. But the truth is, right? The truth is, it turns out we're all falling apart. Yes, I know, very tragic. But the truth is that what we define as aging is also consistent with disuse. So disuse atrophy, right? This loss of bone mineral density, loss of muscle mass and strength, decrease in muscle fiber size, you know, increased fatty infiltration, decrease. I mean, all this stuff is just disuse, just disuse. And the guy who showed this so well in his studies decades ago is Walter Borth, right? Great researcher out of Stanford. And he showed, look at this quote in here. There's a close similarity of these changes to subsequent periods of enforced physical inactivity. So a portion of changes that are commonly attributed to aging are in reality caused by disuse, and as such are subject to correction. What good news that is for you and I, right? In other words, if we modify what we are doing, much of what we attribute purely to disuse, right, or purely to aging, is actually reversed. And so the studies exist that show this. Is one of my favorite, I always like to share, from the Buck Institute for Age Research, that took individuals who were around their 60s, another group in their 30s, and they biopsied their quads. And what they showed was that there was a lot of oxidation, a lot of inflammation going on in their muscles. And what they did then is they exercised them. Look how for 26 weeks, they worked 11 major muscle groups 2 times a week. They just went to a simple gym and did a couple exercises, 3 sets, 10 reps. And at the end of that 26 weeks, guess what happened? They were, look, 20%+ stronger than where they were. And they decreased cell oxidation remarkably, in fact, by up to 50%. So they had reversed oxidative stress, inflammation, aging at the cellular level by almost up to 50% by simply exercising, not even changing to an excellent nutritional program. The movement, the muscle building, this is twice a week, small stuff, 10 reps, 3 sets. This is something you and I can all do. As good old Jack LaLanne said, you have to work at living. You got to train like you're training for an athletic event. Most older people just give up. They think, I'm too old for that, because they have an ache here or a pain there. Life is a pain in the butt, and you've got to work at it. Which takes us to this: no pain, no gain. Well, the reality of this is it depends. The type of pain we don't want that's not good would be chest pain. Again, that elephant sitting, that pachyderm on your chest, right? You start exercising, all of a sudden you're having left-sided chest pain, not okay. Bad joint pain that flares up and you swell and your knees don't work right. Pain that radiates, numbness, tingling down your limbs, not okay. Pain associated with neurologic conditions, right? Like I said, with a numbness and tingling. Pain with swelling in a limb, in a joint, we don't want that. Or pain that fails to improve with appropriate measures. All of this, we don't want. But, quote, good pain would be stuff like muscle pain when you're exercising. You feel your muscles, they're working hard. It's a little uncomfortable. Or muscle soreness 1 to 2 days after you exercise. Moderately labored breathing during activity, right? You're a little out of breath. That's normal and good, right? Or the opposite of some of the stuff on the other page, right? Now, again, as I've mentioned, if you're confused, if you're unsure Well, then having that good trainer to guide you, right? As I mentioned, my wife does virtual training that you can easily sign up for, or you can do it with somebody in your community. But having some guidance if you're unsure about what constitutes safe, what's not safe, so you kind of slowly build that foundation. I hope this has brought you to a place where you can now consider, where am I on my stages of change when it comes to exercise? Am I still in pre-contemplation? I hope not. I hope now you're in a place of contemplation. You're thinking, how do I get started? What resources do I need? What guidance should I get? I hope you're maybe even starting to prepare. Maybe you're thinking, what kind of clothes do I have, you know, that I could wear for this, right? Do I have the right shoes if I'm going to go out walking regularly? You know, choose something you're going to do. Don't leave this session with Chef AJ, my wife, and myself without committing, without saying, yes, I'm ready. I'm going to do this, right? And let's make it that we are going to move in a direction that helps us achieve our goals. While you're preparing, you need to think about your reasons to do this, right? These are some of my reasons right here. You should say, what are yours, right? What are yours? You should write down your reasons to exercise. In like fashion, you should ask yourself, what are my reasons not to do this, right? Because that little voice, that lazy right-sided dopamine voice that all just wants to sit and watch Netflix and eat bonbons, it's going to try to convince you not to get moving. It's going to say, no, a little more Haagen-Dazs, please. But the reality is, you're done with that voice. You don't want that voice in your life anymore. You want to be healthy and vital. That's why you're watching Chef AJ. That's why you're here, right? So the reality is you've got to write out, though, what are your reasons to do this and what are your reasons not, so you can identify them and build up the reasons to change, right? The reasons to exercise. So here's your plan. Identify four different, right? There's cardiovascular resistance and balance and flexibility. Identify one of these that you're willing to start with. Or if you're already doing one, commit to saying, I'm going to add in the next one as well. And then create a SMART goal, right? Before you shut off this video, make a SMART goal. Don't just say, I'm going to start walking. No, 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 that's unacceptable. Instead, you need to say, I am going to walk one block in my neighborhood. I'm going to start next Thursday at 7 a.m. See, that was specific. It's measurable, likely attainable, right? And there's a time bond to it. You're saying you do it next Thursday at a certain time. So in conclusion, yes, motion is lotion. Use it or lose it, it depends. And no, or use it or lose it, yes. And no pain, no gain, it depends, right? But this is where we started and here we finish. I want to finish with a quote from my grandfather, a great one. There's a book, Profound Simplicity, that has nothing to do with health. But that's exactly what this is, profound simplicity. It's profound in that it holds the truth and all its splendor within itself. And still it is so simple that unfortunately most people are unimpressed by the truth. Exercise is powerful medicine, folks. It should be part of your everyday health plan. Now's the time to identify your goals and harness the resources around you and move in a direction of thriving. With that, I'm going to open it up for my wife here for about 10-minute fitness program. And then we're going to get back to some questions for the last 5-10 minutes. So here she comes, the one and only Tiffesser. She's coming in. There she is, coming in hot.
Hey, guys. Hi, I'm going to scoot you back so you can see me well. Hello, Chef AJ Tribe. I'm so excited to be with you today. I'm Tiff Esser. I'm a certified personal trainer. And today my goal is to show you a short dynamic warm-up. And then we're going to go into five exercises that we're going to modify at a beginner level. And then we're going to advance it to a more intermediate level. I am going to scoot you back just a little bit with my husband's computer so that you can see my total body here on the beautiful outdoors of Florida on this deck. So, all right, we're going to start with a dynamic warm-up. I love to do this before any exercise program. What does that mean? It means we're going to do functional training where we're getting everything warmed up and flowing, as well as stretching and getting the heart rate up. So we're going to start with just our arms, nice and easy. Roll your shoulders back and down. Deep breath in and out. I want you to engage your core muscles. We're tucking our pelvis underneath us. So I've always want you to feel like your spine is in a neutral alignment. When we're doing anything for stretching and working out, I want you to tuck that tailbone under, pelvis is rotated, core is engaged, open up through the chest, and our shoulders are back. So with that proper neutral spinal alignment, slight bend in your knees, we're just gonna warm up the arms with circles forward and back. I have a number of clients who have tight shoulders or issues with their shoulders or arthritis, things like that. So just do what you are capable of doing. If you can't do a full motion in your arms, you can just do nice and easy, bending the elbows, but still getting an opening through the chest, warming up the arms. So I want you to then do swimmers. So we're gonna alternate forward with both arms, and then nice and easy, alternating backwards. We're in the pool, no. But I want you to just get everything loosey-goosey. And then you've seen Michael Phelps do this one before the Olympics. We're gonna bring our arms forward and back. So again, just opening up through the chest, our shoulder blades. So it looks like this from the side. I'm always going to be turning so you guys can see alignment, right? Just really get the blood flowing. Arms feel good, nice and loosey-goosey. Okay, for our legs, I want you to start just nice and simple. We're going to bring the hips forward. And I'm going to show you what it looks like facing you guys. So my hands are on my hips, good alignment, engaging my core. I'm going to walk forward, rotating both hips. So right knee comes up and forward, and then left knee comes up and forward. We're walking front. Now this is what it's gonna look like from the side. Preferably what I want you guys to do is 10 forward, 10 backwards. So that's what we're alternating. Forward, knee comes up. I'm just warming up the hips. All right, so 10 forward, and then we're gonna go 10 backwards. Okay, I have limited space here before I run into my kids' toys over here on the deck, so. I'm gonna do it twice with you all. So forward, just getting those hips nice and open, warming up the glute med, engaging our lower abdominals, all of our core and our back. All right, so I want you to go through that. And then we're gonna do a nice little dynamic stretch with hip swings. So I recommend for people to hold on to something, holding on to a chair, holding on to a wall. So pretend that my wall is here, my right hand's on my hip, My right leg's gonna come out to the side, and I'm just gonna swing it in front of my body, kind of like a pendulum. So that's what you're gonna look like, toe faces forward. Again, just getting everything nice and loose. This is what it looks like from the side. I'm holding onto the wall, and my foot is gonna come forward in front of me, and then out to the side. And if you have hip problems, that's okay. Just do the very best that you can. It's all right if it's a smaller swing, about 45 degree angle. Whatever's comfortable so you're not in pain. Same thing on the left side. So I'm holding onto the wall. Kind of looks like I'm holding onto the post beside me here. We're ready for our Rockette kick line here all together. So nice and easy. Just getting everything warmed up. Okay, so that's what I love to do. Again, you're doing about 10 of each one to warm up forward and back. Everything should feel good. Now, I'm gonna show you guys five exercises. I brought along my weights. If you don't have weights at home, I'm gonna show you the beginner model. If you do have weights at home, they can be whatever you're comfortable with for strength training. It's okay if they're like 2 or 3 pound dumbbells. Start with that, all right? Whatever you are most confident in, because today it's about building up confidence. But if you're more advanced and you have 10, 15 pound weights, you can go ahead and use those. Whatever you've been already using in your exercise program. So our beginner, I'm gonna show you guys a basic squat. Now, as we go through these five exercises, I want you to think of it as a circuit. So we're gonna be working core, legs, and arms. I want you to go through the circuit 3 times. I'm just gonna show you each exercise once, and then you can go through the circuit 3 times later on. So starting with a squat, I want your feet to be slightly wider than your shoulders. Again, opening through your chest, engage your core, neutral spine so that pelvis is tucked under and your hands are on your hips. You're gonna squat your booty back like you're sitting down in a chair, and then you're gonna exhale straight up. So what that looks like is you're pushing up through your heels on the way up. You're gonna be working your quads, your glutes, on the back of your legs. All right, so I want you to do, for beginners, because we're not using any weights, a set of 20. So I always want you to do higher repetitions if we're just doing body weight work. Okay, so this would be a set of 20 for your squats. Now, if you're advancing it, you're gonna grab your two dumbbells, all right, to the side of your body, and we're gonna go into an overhead press. And we're gonna do 15 of these. So I'm gonna scoot back so you guys can see me a little bit better. Get the whole body view. Okay, I'm gonna squat back into my squat. My weights go to the side of my knees. Make sure your knees are not coming in on you. All right, we're working our abductors and adductors. Everything's strong on the way up. Inhale, exhale, overhead press. The weights go above my shoulders, back down, elbows in tight to my side. So it looks like this, down, exhale. All right, so everything's kind of a fluid motion. Down with the weight of the gravity to the side, controlling my knees. They're not going over my toes. Core is tight, hips are underneath me. Exhale up, back down. So again, if you are doing the beginner model of just our body weight with the squats, do a set of 20. If you're doing advanced with your dumbbells, I want you to do a set of 15. And again, that's your first set of it. And you're gonna go through the circuit 3 times. The second exercise we're gonna do, I'm gonna take one weight, all right? I'm gonna stand to the side. We're gonna work the back of our upper body, our arms. So I'm gonna kick in front of me. I prefer to put my hand on my knee. Again, if you wanna hold onto a wall or a bench or a chair beside you, you can. But the goal is one foot is out in front of us into a slight lunge. I'm leaning forward. My back is elongated in a neutral position all the way to the top of my head. So I'm lifting up my chest. We're gonna work the back and our posterior deltoids. So a rhomboid row, I'm gonna pull my elbow in tight and inhale down. Exhale up, inhale down, okay? Again, if we're new to an exercise routine, I highly recommend just doing a set of 20 with a really light weight, like a 2-pounder. If you are more advanced, you can do between a 10 to 20 pound dumbbell, and that would be 15 repetitions. And you're gonna do 15 reps on the right side, and then it's gonna be 15 reps on the left side. So you're just gonna put that weight in your other arm, make sure we're in good spinal alignment, same thing. And what I want you to do is you're really making sure you're not collapsing forward. So you're stopping, controlling that core movement. Exhale, elbow is in really tight to your side of your body and then straight down to your knee level. Okay? So that's our second one, right? I want you to get full body here. So you're getting arms, legs, a lot of core engagement. Okay, our next exercise is going to be a plie squat. And if you have a kettlebell, you can use that. Sometimes that helps with people's wrists. I'm gonna use one dumbbell to show you. So I'm gonna take my heavier dumbbell, and you can see that I'm holding the dumbbell or the weight out to this in a horizontal position. So I'm holding onto the sides. Okay, so my feet are gonna come out really wide, wider than my shoulders. I'm rolling my shoulders back and down. Everything's engaged. My knees on my squat are gonna go over my toes, out to the side. So turning out, you're gonna get into a deeper squat, and we're gonna be working those glute meats or the side of our hips on our exhale up, squeeze the glutes. So you're gonna be feeling this in your quads. You're also gonna be feeling it in the back of your legs with your glutes, your hamstrings, and especially those glute meats. So we're really working the back of our hip. So make sure we have good alignment with our chest and our shoulders the whole time. For beginners, you can always have your hands on your hips, okay? So just down and up, set of 20. Nice and slow and controlled, especially on the way up, okay? Go as low as you can. Everything's in good alignment, nice and tight. To advance it, I'm gonna take my heavier dumbbell, pop my legs out, okay? Out in front of me, down, inhale, exhale up. Okay, to advance it even more, getting those arms moving, you can do that overhead press. And this is just with one weight. So like we did our squats with two dumbbells, this one's just one. I'm gonna exhale up, Inhale to chest level, exhale up. Inhale to chest level, exhale up over my head. All right, so lots going on. Legs, core, anterior deltoids, top of our shoulders. Okay, good alignment. Really great for our spine, keeping everything in position. So with that, that's again, a set of 15 with the dumbbell weights. Okay, good. Now, bring a little bit of cardio thrown into there. And I love working lateral movements for hips. A lot of my clients, women, as we get older, whether we're running, cycling, tennis, whatever the sport is, it's really important to keep your hips strong. So I always do a lot of core work, back work, and glute med work. So what we're gonna do is skater jumps. For beginners, this is can be a smaller movement. And I like to put, I like to make little placements for myself on the ground. So you guys can see, this is where I'm trying to jump to. It's like my little goal, okay? So you can start with it's closer together if you want, but I'm gonna spread mine out a little bit farther so I get a little bit more of an explosive jump. And I'm gonna start on my left leg, all right? So stay with me, guys. This is a little bit more coordination, but I really wanna get your heart rate up. So for cardio work and our glute med work, we're gonna jump from our left foot over to our right foot, okay? So for beginners, we're just jumping side to side. Little bit more challenging than jump rope or jumping jacks, okay? So you're just bringing your weight from one foot to the other and your back leg comes back behind you, all right? Now try to challenge yourself for 30 seconds that you are jumping out to the side. So it's an explosive plyometric movement. It's not just here, okay? Really want it to be a big movement. But I'm gonna challenge for those of you who want to advance it, you can do one full minute and it's gonna look like this. I'm gonna tap down, touch my weight, okay? Ooh, get balanced here like a flamingo. So touch my weight and then I'm gonna jump to the other weight and touch it with my other hand, all right? So skater jump, jump, touch, jump, touch, jump, touch, jump, touch, okay? So while I'm doing this and smiling at you guys, what I want you to think of is not curving your chest down like this and collapsing, but that your chest is still lifted. So you're engaging your back muscles and your core on the jump. So everything is in a really good, strong position. So for those of you who are tapping down, reaching your dumbbells, you're doing that for a full minute, okay? Really feel that burn in our hips. Okay, and so for our final one, let me put my weights back. Perfect, okay. And for my final one, I'm just gonna do a little bit of a cool down stretch. So we've worked legs with our squats. We've worked our lunges, all right? We've worked our rhomboid rows. Oh, we did our lunges. I wanna show you a modification on that. And then I'll share a little bit of a cool down. So with our lunges, you are gonna take both dumbbells, okay? And you're gonna put one foot out in front and you're on the back toe. Let me scoot back so you guys can see. Roll the shoulders back and down. Now, to advance it, I'm gonna have your elbows in tight, stuck next to your body like glue. So on the way down, inhale, exhale. When I come up, I'm doing a rotation out to the side for the back of my shoulders for my rotator cuff. So it's inhale down, exhale nice and slow, rotate out. Keeping good spinal alignment with my shoulders over my hips the whole time. And I'm making sure that my front knee does not go past my front toe. All right, stay up on that back toe the whole time. You're kicking up through your front heel. So you're really gonna feel that in the front glute and quad as you're kicking up, okay? These are a little bit more slower and more controlled. So for those of you who are beginners, I want you to start with just 10 of these. And then if you're advanced, you can do a set of 15 to 20. And you're doing it with a little bit of a lower weight, just because we're gonna be doing higher reps with it. And I want you to focus on that rotation. I'm gonna come a little closer so you guys can just see. So it's almost like I'm sticking my elbow stuck to my body and then I'm rotating out. And I'm really focusing on keeping a good position with my shoulder over my elbow the whole time. Okay, and then from the side, it looks like this. All right, so it's stuck there like glue. You really feel that in the back of your shoulder. So that's the proper alignment. Once again, you know, start with that dynamic warm up that we did to get arms and hips and core and everything warmed up. And then you're going to go into your squats with the overhead press. You're going to go into your rhomboid rows where you're leaning forward or you're holding onto a chair, really pinching back your back muscles. And then you're going to go into your skater jumps, really tapping and challenging yourself for either 30 seconds to a full minute. Then you're going to go into your plie squats to an overhead press, and then your lunges with your exterior rotations, okay, with both arms. So try to do that three times through for a really good beginner circuit training session, all right? So that's all I have for you guys today. Just want to give you a nice little 10-minute workout. And I recommend, if you're interested in training with me virtually, just go to essersports.com. I have a number of Chef AJ's fabulous tribe members who have joined me from last month. And it's been such a gift to be able to work with them and reach their goals. So I would love to be a part of your health journey and reach your exercise goals with you too. So thank you, Chef AJ.
Oh, thank you, Tiffany. That's great that people want to work with you since they saw you on last month's show. Awesome.
All right. Well, I like that. I was doing some of that in the background. I like getting my workout in too. Good stuff. I love skater jumps. She's right.
People do skater jumps at the beach.
Oh yeah. We do skater jumps wherever we can. It's such a great lateral movement, working on balance, the core stability, right? You think about kind of the people with the risk of falls, right? I mean, just kind of like you suddenly change direction, rotate, and there you go down. And remember, 80% of fractures occur in the setting of falls. And so the whole key here is to decrease that fall risk and maximize function and performance. And so that movement is just an excellent movement. Yeah. Oh, she's back. Here we go.
Okay. I want to make sure you guys can hear me since he has the earpieces on. And also for those of you who are beginners, like I said, you can start with body weight for all of those exercises. If you don't have dumbbells in the house, you can even use little sets of cans, or if you have gallon water bottles, something like that for a little bit of extra weight. And then again, if you're more advanced and you have a heavier dumbbell, you can add that into the program as well.
So she's like, you tell she's passionate about what she does.
Yeah, see what you have and don't make excuses. Right. Like Jack LaLanne was to your quote earlier, you know, because if you really want to reach your health goals and your exercise goals, there's ways to be creative and make it happen.
Well, you start those 10-ounce bottles, right, of water, like you said, and then you build up a half gallon and, you know, and then a full gallon, you know, even if you don't have the money to buy the weights.
Exactly.
I love it.
Start with what you have at home.
So. Love it.
All right.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Chef AJ.
Well, thank you, Tiffany. This was great. And speaking of Jack LaLanne, his wife, Elaine, it was her birthday yesterday. I don't remember if she was 97 or 98, but she'll be coming on soon, hopefully.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Any questions before we go?
Well, a lot of questions came in, but we can save them for another time when you have more time. I'm just going to take a few that I see in the chat that are related to exercise. So Karen, who's watching live, says, do you recommend the use of a power plate to aid muscle and skeletal health?
I think that they add some percentage of value, but I think for the average person, they're not a make or break. The key is starting movement, doing exercise, doing the weight bearing stuff like what my wife is just showing. And then if you want to amp that up a little bit and add a little additional benefit, certainly there is some value there.
Thank you. And Ellen is asking if you're willing to share a PDF of your slide presentation. She works with postmenopausal women who wish to prevent chronic metabolic disease, and she loves your content.
Well, thank you for that. We can always add it up on SlideShare under Esser Health. There's a bunch of PowerPoints, I think 90 of them. If you ever go to SlideShare and look up Esser Health, you may see some of these slides and PowerPoints there.
Great. Okay. I'm looking. Okay. So I'm trying to get ones based on exercise that were sent in. So here's one from Diane. And she says, I know Dr. Esser is a tennis player and I am too. I'm a 64-year-old woman and I'm really struggling with my serve to be more powerful. What would Dr. Esser suggest I do to improve the power of my serve? Lift weights, do other strength training, or is it my lack of muscle mass that's something that I just have to live with?
Well, I mean, the serve itself is dependent upon placement of the toss, right? As well as the where you hit the ball, whether it's at peak reach or halfway down. And then it's also dependent upon core strength, racket head velocity, and total strength of the upper body. So really the first thing is to maybe have a good pro look at your form and technique of your serve. Make sure your toss is well placed. Your racket head is loose. You have a good continental grip. You're snapping the racket through the point of contact. If all of that is not creating the power you want, then yes, perhaps adding more muscle mass into the upper back and the shoulder is going to be helpful over time. But I love it. See, 60 something years old and still having goals to enhance that performance. I love it. And we should all have that, whether it be on the tennis court or just in life, that I want to be able to, right, move my garage myself, right, all the boxes without, you know, having to call up too many friends because I can't even lift a 25-pound box. That's the reason to stay strong, folks. So you can do anything and everything that you want to as you age.
Thank you. This isn't exactly about exercise, but I think you'll know the answer. And this is from Leah. How do you feel, Dr. Esser, about taking hormone replacement therapy for osteoarthritis? I'm 67, 5'2", 115 pounds. I eat a whole food plant-based diet, but I still suffer from joint pain in my hands, shoulders, hips, and knees. Would an estrogen patch be helpful or is it harmful, the HRT? Have you seen the newest research that says the risk has been overstated?
So I think that, you know, there is a normal senescence phase of human existence, and that whether it be a male with the levels of testosterone or a female levels of estrogen, we are intended to have a decrease in what are anabolic and growth hormones. That is clear just based on other animal models. When you look at other animals, they don't have prolonged, extraordinarily high levels of anabolic growth hormones. And when you artificially increase those growth hormone levels, you run the risk in a genetically primed individual of various cancers and problems. So I think entering into that place of asking that question is you need to be okay with the fact that you might get something you don't want, right? Because already 1 in 8 women will have some sort of reproductive cancer, whether it be uterine, cervical, or breast. And so if you develop that cancer, are you going to go, well, I wish I wouldn't have taken the hormones? If that's going to be your thought process, then the answer is no, you shouldn't take the hormones. If you're going to get that cancer and be like, oh, well, c'est la vie, these things could have happened anyway, so be it. But I think that there's not adequate data to say that using those hormones does not increase the risk in a genetically primed individual. And so I'm very hesitant. In small quantities, let's say for vaginal lubrication for a woman as she ages, then the use of some estrogen topical, probably very reasonable. But for other issues, you know, my first go-to for, let's say, the thermo symptoms for hot flashes, et cetera, there's good data that says women can reduce their hot flashes by 70-80% by simply eating a plant-based diet with some edamame, right, once or twice a day. We should be doing that rather than, you know, using just straight up estrogen, in my opinion. But we can go through a whole lecture on that another time. I think it'll be worthwhile, actually, conversation. So good chance for me to learn more and a good chance for me to share that knowledge.
Well, thank you. Maybe we could do one more quick one because this is related to exercise from Anonymous. Can you still exercise, in other words, walk, swim, and bike after being diagnosed with tendonitis in your legs?
Yes, you can walk, swim, and run. The question would be what form of tendonitis, which tendon, and how it's being managed, right? And if so, a specific exercise is what caused the tendonitis, then you may want to cut back for a period of time to allow the tendon to cool off and calm down. Yes, there are lots of exercises you can always do. Just because we have 1 acre pain somewhere doesn't mean we can't do anything. We want to identify the things we can do while avoiding the things that might provoke our symptoms.
All right. Dr. Esser, this was great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great day, Chef AJ, and everybody out there. Love you all. We'll be back in 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Thank you. And thanks all of you for watching another episode of Chef AJ Live. Please come back in about an hour. We have a very special show with Carly Budrug from Plant U. She's got a new book coming out and she'll be making a recipe. Thanks, everyone. Take care.